This is a special little conference that we have planned for some time with the church in Fremont, the saints there. And I have been looking forward to that for some time. But because a few weeks back, we began a course of perfecting fellowship with the working saints in Northern California. We have two meetings thus far. And as I was wading into the fellowship, that particular fellowship, the burden from the Lord became heavier, and I would even say clearer. So particularly after this, a week ago, so a week today ago, when we begin to fellowship with so many dear saints, working saints in the churches, about the need to be vitalized, genuinely vitalized, by having absolute, clear, and thorough fellowship with the Lord. Now, of course, when we talk about this matter of being vital, being vitalized, to be a genuine, vital saint, there are a number of factors. And in fact, our dear brother, Brother Lee, had actually put down five particular factors. And I'm trying to look for that paper, but it's okay. And you can find that in the end, the last page or of the first vital group book. They're altogether three books on the so-called vital group training that Brother Lee conducted. And this is back in 1992 and 93. And the last of that training was in 1996. But I'm talking about the first book that covers the training from 92 fall to 93 springtime. And as a conclusion to that course of training, Brother Lee wrote a very simple outline for us. And half of that outline concerns how we can become vital, the way to be vitalized. And they were all together 5 points. And I looked at that again, and right away I was impressed that perhaps we should adopt this. We should take these 5 points as a roadmap, as a structure to our current fellowship with the working brothers and sisters. Of course, deep in my spirit, my strong and heavy burden in these days is this very thing. And that is the genuine, constant vitality of the saints in the churches. So I prepared for this purpose two outlines for each of these 5 points. Two outlines, so altogether 10 outlines. And actually, I was going to use two back-to-back sessions on these fortnight training fellowship with the working saints. But last week, some of you were there, you realized that it was an impossible task to try to cover two outlines in two meetings of 1 hour each. So what happened is, as often the case, I actually used two sessions to cover just one outline. That left one outstanding outline that I have not covered for last Saturday. So it just happened that we had scheduled this weekend's mini conference with Fremont. So I asked the brothers if it's okay for us to use this weekend tonight and then tomorrow morning to cover the second outline. And whatever I speak here will become part of that Working Saints Fellowship. And the brothers will inform the Working Saints and encourage them to get into this second outline. I call it lesson two, right? Lesson one and lesson two, two outlines on the same subject. And the brothers all felt good and encouraged me to go ahead. And so tonight and tomorrow, I'll be using these two sessions to cover outline number two. And this first point of the 5 points, how to be vital, that Brother Lee gave us, is exactly the title here. The first thing we must do in order to be a vital person is we must build up, we must have a absolute and thorough fellowship with the Lord. And again, some of you who were there with us last Saturday remembered how I told the saints that this is not talking about 5 minutes morning revival or 10 minutes here in some prayer. No. What I am talking about here is a particular kind of fellowship with the Lord that is absolute and thorough. For that to happen, this particular fellowship that we have with the Lord, that we must have with the Lord as a starter on the path to vitality, must be something lengthier. Firstly, it must be personal. It must be personal. You don't have this fellowship with another person. That does not mean we don't care for the body, we don't pursue the Lord with the saints. No. But when it comes to becoming vital, it has to start with yourself. It has to start with myself. No one can be vital for you. No one can be vitalized on your behalf. You cannot depend on someone else to become vital. You have to depend on yourself. This is a very strong point, and it seems it's something a bit opposite or against to our emphasis in many conferences and speakings, emphasizing the body, the body, the body, something corporate. There is that. That is absolutely important. But I tell you, the personal relationship with the Lord, our personal communion or fellowship with the Lord, is still the base, the foundation of our everything Christian. And I would say even everything related to the church or the church life. You and I must be vitalized by having this kind of fellowship with the Lord. But in this matter, it must be personal. It must be personal as a start, but I would even say more than a start, it must be maintained personally. So we're talking here about building up a habit, a practice. Of what? Of knowing how to be with the Lord in this intensely personal, an intimate way. I used two cases last time, I recall. I don't have the outline in front of me. First, the Lord Jesus himself as the Son of Man. This is the Lord. This is Christ. But when he was on the earth serving and ministering, particularly in the book of Luke, we see that frequently, as a habitual matter, the Lord Jesus would leave the crowd, would even leave his disciples, to leave everyone, to be alone with the Father for a prolonged time. Who knows how long? I dare say it got to be half a day, overnight, you know, sometimes in the mountain, sometimes in the desert, and in the wilderness. And so the Lord himself needs the personal time with the Father to receive the Father's charge, the Father's supply, and the Father's commission to him, so that he can continue to do the Father's will on the earth in oneness with the Father. Even the Lord Jesus, if he did not have such a time as a man with his Father, he could not carry on. He could not fulfill his ministry. That's the Lord. And the matter of him going away alone agrees with the principle that the Lord spoke to us, that when we pray, we should go into our closet. Now, maybe not literally a closet, but definitely a what? A personal secret place, a hiding place, a place that you are not with other people, a place that you are alone with the Lord face to face. It also means, in the case of going up a mountain, that you get above all the earthly noise and din. You know, all when you are on this earth, I tell you, the pollution, the noise pollution, the air pollution, all the things going on, distracting you, calling for you, including not just bad things, but even your family, your wife, your spouse, your children. So many things. You need to get away from that. And I say this strongly. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying we should abandon our family. We should leave our wife. Of course not. But when it comes to being with the Lord, spending time with the Lord and have meaningful, deep fellowship and communion with him, you must get away. So you have to arrange time. You have to prepare a place. And above all, you need to prepare your heart. You have to prepare your attitude. You have to prepare your spirit. You have to set up an appointment, so to speak, a marked, set-apart time where no one will bother you to meet with God, to meet with the Lord for a longer period. So that cannot be done 5 minutes or even 10 minutes. That cannot be done on the run while you are going out of the house. You cannot squeeze that in between some activities. You must set apart some time, whether it's in the evening or during a longer lunch break or during the weekend. I would say this kind of time require you to have at least an hour with the Lord. Now, I don't know how many of you have such a habit, have such a practice on a regular way. Now, I do not say this is every day necessarily. If you can, if you have that kind of time, that's good. But as I charge you all as an assignment last Saturday, that you should at least start to have one such scheduled time for 1 hour to be with the Lord this week. I don't know whether you have done that or not. If you have not done so, you should do it soon. Now, we also cover the case of Moses, who spent, what, 40 days and 40 nights alone with, what, Jehovah. Up on the mountain, he left the people. He left the cattle. He left everything down there just to be face to face with God. 40 days and 40 nights, what were they talking about? Do they really need that long time to converse? But he did that, and God was with him. It's like even God left everything to just be with Moses. And there they commune. There they fellowship. There they enter into a deep conversation with one another. You can just imagine they were there. The spirit is open in the case of Moses. His mind was open. His face was unveiled. And there he was just gazing. There he was just beholding. There he was just what? Being infused. There he was being what? Being dispensed into. So much so that after this kind of time with God, when he came down, his face shined. He had to put on a veil when he talked to the Israel people. Now that doesn't happen in 5 minutes for you to glow like that. 40 days and 40 nights. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I'm very burdened. It's about time for many saints who say they love the Lord, who say they are pursuers of Christ, who say they mean business for the Lord's interest. To what? To build up if they have not done this, or at least to refresh if they have done this before. Their experience with the Lord in this way, to set aside time to have a deeper fellowship with the Lord. How can a person who spent this kind of time with the Lord not be vital? They are in front of the source of vitality. They're in front of life himself. So, brothers and sisters, this is not a formula. This is not a method. And this is absolutely not optional. You cannot be a true vital believer without this kind of a time. I myself, thank the Lord, I'm not that great. I'm not that unique or unusual. But by the Lord's mercy, from the time when I came to the church life, this is in my early college years, even before I came to the church life, after the Lord revived me, and put within me a heart to follow him and to serve him, I begin to build up that kind of a habit. I cannot live without that. And this is more than morning watch, okay? Now, sometimes you do have a long morning watch and you have this kind of a time. That happens, of course. But I'm talking about this kind of specific seasons, specific times of being deeply in the Lord's presence and dealing with the Lord to hear the Lord's heart and to pray to him, etc. I tell you, it is, I can testify to you, it is something that does not come spontaneously. It requires a desperation. It requires an absoluteness. You have to mean business. You have to set aside the time. You have to pay the price to get away from things, to be cleansed, to not be bothered, to just be with the Lord. So what are we going to do tonight and tomorrow? I'm going to use this outline. I don't know whether this outline is given to you. If not, it's okay. It will be passed on to you later on. But let me just use this. This second outline is a very strange outline, a different outline, in that every Roman numeral is a stanza or part of a stanza from one of the hymns in our hymn book. Now, where does that come from? And tonight I'm not here just to give a message in that way. I'm here having a kind of family talk with all of you. Over 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, I was very much with the Lord along this kind of line and have a great burden in my heart to help the saints, if there's a way, if there's an opportunity, to experience what I have experienced for their benefit. I didn't have the word vitality and so on, but there's just a burden to guide, to help the saints into knowing the Lord in a deeper way by having this kind of fellowship, deep fellowship with the Lord. So there's a psalm that I like very much, and this psalm may be even in this outline, and that's 784 in English, with the first line of every stanza, pray to fellowship with Jesus. I urge you to sing this hymn frequently in these days, and verse by verse, to muse on it, to use it to pray before the Lord. And this song have a lot of verbs that describe the writer's experience, how he was with the Lord. Now, let me just use, I'm just going to read some of these verbs. Pray, fellowship, seek in the Spirit, seek his face, ask and listen in his presence, waiting, wait in the secret place. In verse 2, fully open from within, open, with thy face unveiled. You need to remove the veils. Beholding, to behold. You see, this is an active thing, a verb. Seeking him in confidence, seek. Learn, to touch him as the Spirit. looking up, even looking up in reverence, speaking nothing in pretense. Speak. This is a conversation. Listen, right? I have that word already. Be impressed by his intentions. Yield to him. Yield, surrender to him. Then the last verse, bathing, like you take a bath, bathing in his countenance. Saturated with his beauty. And finally, radiate his excellence. That is the reflecting, like Moses, of the Lord. This kind of time is what I'm talking about. And this song, this simple song, gave rise to a lot of feeling within me. And so I actually put together, and this is not my message tonight, this is just to show you, to demonstrate to you, and I hope this would be a help to you, how detailed we must be, how careful we must be, how fine we must be in this kind of fellowship with the Lord. You cannot be quick. You cannot be rough about this. It takes time. It's like two friends sitting across each other. A lot of time is actually spent even not of talking, just sitting there. You may say, sitting there doing nothing, what a waste of time. No, I say a strong no. You need to sit there. You need to learn to be still. That is one of the points tonight. You need to learn to wait. You cannot hurry. You have to learn to linger. Lord, of these fine practices, I'm concerned many dear saints have never picked up or built up. So their fellowship life with the Lord is weak, superficial, outward, somewhat light. And as a result, they are not that kind of person that what has a fire glowing within them, a divine fire. They're not truly what vital people in a sustained way. So I hope this time through this kind of fellowship, there can be a true breakthrough on the part of many. Those who have these experiences would know what I'm talking about. So, brothers, can you show that one page thing that I asked you to put up there? Can you blow it up a little bit so the saints can see? So, over 10 years ago, I put together 84 precious, I call them 84 precious words, all concerning such times, such kind of fellowship or communion with the Lord. Now, I never spoke about it. I put together verses and also even ministry excerpts on each one of these points. I have all of that. But tonight, I'm not getting into these things. I don't have the time. But whatever we have in the outline tonight and tomorrow are extracted from this page, from these words. The first group one, which stands by itself, are words that define our personal relationship with the Lord. Let me just read them off. We have no time. I'm just going to read it. It describes our relationship, this kind of relationship, divine, mystical, personal, spiritual, intimate, affectionate, private, deep, strong, genuine, pure, fresh, constant, and memorable. Something that will be remembered even in eternity. Your time with the Lord. And now in group two, all the way to group six, each one with about 14 points, I think, are words that describe, or verbs that describe our personal fellowship with the Lord. In this group two, which I call, how do we approach the Lord? Even this has steps, phases in our time with the Lord. The first group is, how do we approach him? What kind of attitude should we have? What should we do? And here are the words: need, desire, choose, believe, come, the big one, come, turn, enter, stop, very important word, stop, be still, stop your mind, stop all the busyness in your heart, okay? Calm down yourself, open, empty yourself, ask, seek, knock. These are the attitude, these are the actions that we have to take in our inner man in order to approach the Lord. Group three, I have the word beholding. Now, after we approach, we're in the Lord's presence. We need to spend much time to behold him, face to face with him. Just behold him. These are the 14 words. Rest, appreciate, love, touch, join, cling. This is a scripture word that means cleave, cling to the Lord. Delight, gaze, bathe, draw, wait, linger, abide, remember. Of course, it takes some speaking to explain some of these words. That is just on beholding the Lord as a mirror. Group four is all on how do we assimilate him. You see, when we're in the Lord's presence, it's not just us there just talking away, praying all the time. No, we actually need to learn how to be with the Lord without speaking, without praying first, just to there to what? Another word is absorb him. How to absorb and assimilate him. These are the 14 words. Call, groan. That's a scripture word. Groan, cry. How about crying to the Lord? Consider, treasure, taste, nourish, masticate, digest, meditate, muse. Muse will be in tonight's outline. Keep, learn, and know. The next group is on dealing. Now you're not only just assimilating, you are dealing with the Lord about things that he shined on, about things that he touched you about. Confess, repent, humble, apply, offer, listen, obey, fear, hope, trust, entrust, entrust, consecrate, cast your burdens on him, plead, that means to beseech. Then finally, the last group is on worship. Frequently these times end with our worship, worshiping the Lord. These are the last 14 words. Inquire, entreat, petition, intercede, thank, rejoice, sing, praise, bless, extol, exalt, adore, worship and yearn. What is yearn? Yearning is yearning for his return. Yearning to see him again soon. So these are 84 words. You say, oh, come on. What, you really need to be so detailed and well, I don't know what to say. I can just say that it's time that we learn to know the Lord in a detailed way. Abraham was called a friend of God. He is not called a friend of God for no reason. Just remember how he was with the Lord when Jehovah visited him on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. There were a lot of long time together, resulting in or ending with Abraham standing before Jehovah while Jehovah was about to leave. And yet Jehovah still have not yet opened his heart to Abraham. You see, do you see this kind of a fellowship, this kind of intimacy, this kind of a time, like a friend with a friend, where you can almost read each other's minds and you have the same heartbeat? And there he had that glorious intercession for his nephew Lot. You remember that story in Genesis 18. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope just my speaking like this would cause you to have a desire, a aspiration, a hope to build up these kind of times with the Lord. And I will guarantee you, if you do this, you will be a vital person. You will be a vital person. Unfortunately, the problem today, and the enemy is absolutely at work, busy at work, is to what? Is to deprive us. To deprive us of such dear and necessary moments. Using busyness. Using all kinds of distracting things. And one of them is this. We all have this. To waste our time, to cause us to get into this, we say we don't have time. Actually, we all have time. You just check your screen time on things that is not related to your work and so on. We spend a lot of time on this to do many things that end up time wasting, energy sapping, mind-numbing, heart-usurping, anxiety-inducing, faith-weakening. It has an impact on us. Dear brothers and sisters, this thing is very useful for all of us, and we need to do business. We need to live today. The internet. But oh, how it is also destroying us by depriving us of these kind of times with the Lord, telling ourselves, I'm so busy. No, no, no one is that busy. It's time wasted. So the word in Ephesians 5 is redeem the time. None of us can create more time because we have only 24 hours a day. But we can waste them. The locust can eat them up. So the exhortation by the apostle is redeem. Don't waste the time. Fight for the opportunity. Dear brothers, I feel we need, through this fellowship, adjust our lifestyle. Some of us need to change our lifestyle to reprioritize things in light of the Lord and what the Lord needs. For that, we must pay the price. You know, to have your vessel filled with oil, the wise and prudent, the wise virgins, they have to pay the price to gain that oil. That is to be vital. And sooner or later, you and I have to pay that price. If not today, in the next age, those foolish virgins try to get oil from the wise ones. The wise ones, no, you go buy it for yourself outside of the wedding feast. Dear brothers, either these are just fairy tales or these are real. Seek first the kingdom. What does that mean? If we don't even prioritize time to be just with the Lord. I hope so. I hope all of this fellowship will result in some change, some alteration in the way we budget our time, in the way we live, particularly to set aside times to fellowship with the Lord. Now, I'll just cover half of this outline here. You will get this outline, huh? We will somehow get it to you. We have a bunch of verses that are in these scripture reading, so I won't get into that. I'll just come to the outline and mention some of these verses. The first Roman numeral is stanza 1 from hymn 812, a marvelous, most precious hymn about our coming to the Lord. See, the first thing is we have to come to the Lord. I come to thee, dear Lord. My heart doth thirst for thee. Of thee I eat, of thee I drink, enjoy thee thoroughly. The simple, simple words, but so divine, so inspiring. Sing this, brothers. This is in the outline for you to sing, for you to pray. The thirst within you. Brothers, do we have that thirst for God? So, A, God desires to draw near to us, but we need to draw near to him. Who draws near to who first? According to James 4:8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a condition. But there's a blessed result. Pay the price, brothers and sisters, and draw near. Near, not far away. Near to God. And he promised he will likewise draw near to us. My, this nearness of the Lord, this nearness of God. Have you tasted it, brothers and sisters? If you have tasted the nearness of the Lord, you are vital. You're just living. That Samaritan woman, after having that conversation so near with the Lord at the well, ran back to the whole city and told the whole city about this prophet that he met. He's vital, vitalized. He drank the living water. B, we need to come to the Lord just as we are to eat of him. When we come to the Lord, the first thing is not to pray, not to tell him about this or that. The first thing when we come to the Lord is to receive him, to eat and drink of him. That's why we're with the Lord. Not to come and tell him what you were going to do for him. Not even come to the Lord and ask him about what is your will, his will for you. No. The first thing, you see, Moses, 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat nor drink. 40 days, 40 nights, didn't eat, didn't drink. He was eating, he was drinking. Jehovah himself was his sustenance, was his food, and was his drink. I tell you, even eating Jesus, eating God, the tree of life, is something very deep. We can sing the song, the tree of life, how great it is. We sing about drinking, but I fear many of our drinking is light drinking. We just lick the water. We just took a sip. There's no drawing from the wells of salvation to drink deep, to drink until you're soaked, until you're permeated, until every fiber, every cell of your being is soaked with the Lord, with the Spirit. That kind of eating and drinking is more advanced spiritually. We need to go on, brothers and sisters, and not remain babyish, remain outward and shallow. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. You see, I come to thee, dear Lord. The first thing is we need to come. You know, when I spend these times with the Lord, I tell you, let's say I spend an hour with the Lord or something like that. It will take me 10 minutes or more just to come because there's so many things still hanging in my mind, so many things still pulling me back. Just for me to really set my heart to come, to exert the energy, my strength, to come into his presence. Took time. Some of us actually, we said, we have a morning revival, we did this, or we pray read. You know what? You never went. You never come. You never came to the Lord. You just did something. You read the word, you pray read a few verses. Maybe you call on the Lord a little bit, but actually, you never came. You were following the Lord, but far away. You're not right in front of his presence, so near to him. Isaiah 51 says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Don't expect the waters to come to you. I know the Spirit is available. I know that. You show it here. I know that. But we need to come to the waters and drink. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened. Many times I take these three words, come to me. You know that famous song, Billy Graham, just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. I just tell the Lord, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming as if I have run away. I have left him. I have gone astray. Lord, I am coming back. I'm returning again. I'm coming into your presence to spend time with you again. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. Just repeatedly, I would pray that way. I would exercise that way. And brothers, it takes that. It requires that to be really, really in the presence of God. The Lord says in John, come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, come, come. You need to take action. You need to come. Come means leave where you are. Get away from where you are. Come to me. I am here. God is here. The Lord is here. Come to me. Move your location. Don't stay where you are. Come up to the mountain. Come to the desert. Come and meet me. We have an appointment. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. The throne doesn't come to you. You and I have to come, not just come, but come forward to the throne of grace that we can receive mercy and grace for timely help. Hebrews 7 again, 25 again. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through him. Come forward to him. Hebrews 10:22, let us come forward to the Holy of Holies. There's another hymn here that is 10:50 about Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. But anyway, I don't have the time. It's you can find its reference there, right? It's referenced there. C, every morning we must turn our hearts again toward the Lord. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Of course, this referred to our morning time with the Lord. But I would say in principle, of course, every time when we want to be with the Lord, we must turn. Something must happen to our heart because the heart has gone away. The heart is very easily distracted. The heart is like a fly paper. Everything sticks to it. You know, those of us who have this kind of exercise realize every time when we come to the Lord, how far our heart has gone. How far our heart has gone. Just 24 hours, just in 48 hours, our heart is gone to somewhere else away from the Lord. So we need to what? Turn the heart to the Lord. This is your heart, my heart, and we dictate our heart. We need to exercise to have our heart turn from something else or someone else to the Lord. Many verses in the Old Testament talk about return to me, return to Jehovah your God. That means they went away. They came, then they went away. They came, they went away. Somewhat that happens to us all the time. So we need to come what? We need to return again and again and again and again. Return to the Lord. You have hymn 1345. Now let's come to Romans 2. This is a wonderful hymn, a simple hymn, a basic hymn. I wouldn't say this is a deep hymn, but the principles of being with the Lord is spelled out here. Actually, I take back my words. This is a rather deep hymn. I was thinking about another song. Look at this. Lord, in thy presence, silent I would be. You know, when we go to the Lord, don't talk so much. Don't start just praying this and praying that. Learn to be silent. It's not easy because your mind is like a wild horse. Your mind is in all over the world, in the moon. Your mind is all distracted. It's hard to calm down that wild horse. It's hard to be silent without staying in your busy mind. It's hard to calm down. But brothers, we need to learn to exercise. That in the inmost I to thee may come. You see, come again. In my inmost being, I'm coming to you, Lord, again. I would not in my own way pray to thee, but let thy prayer in me, my prayer become. This is the real prayer. This is genuine prayer. This is the top prayer. That is not your prayer. It is actually the Lord's prayer. His desire, his will that has been transfuse into you through this kind of fellowship with him. He anoints his burden within us, and we learn to sense his feeling, to sense his burden, and we begin to pray back what we have received from him. That is the real prayer. But that takes time, brothers and sisters. Again, you cannot do this in 5 minutes. You need a longer time. A lot of our prayer just comes from our mind or just comes from our need. It really did not come from the Lord. A person who fellowships with God must learn to be quiet. Yeah. Try to be quiet and not be in your mind, not so easy. When we're quiet, the mind gets active, right? How to be quiet? And yet, even the mind would become still. When the mind can rest, when our mind can be calmed down, that is not easy. But we need to learn. Learn to be quiet. Because without quietness, we cannot hear his still, small voice. Psalm 4, consider in your heart upon your bed and be silent. Psalm 37, be still before Jehovah and wait for him. Psalm 131, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. I tell you, today the world just wants to keep us busy, just from thing to thing, from news to news, from this and to that, just keeping us busy, busy. And even when we want to spend time with the Lord, we are busy. I mentioned to you multitasking. Half of the screen is the morning revival. The other half is something of your job, something of what you're doing. You are multitasking. You are not single-hearted with the Lord. We're doing many things, and God would not tolerate competition. He would just say, come to me at another time. I don't want anything to compete with me. If I'm with you, I want to be with you alone. Come another time. And sometimes we do need to come at another time because that was the wrong time, not the right moment. And we are not in the right condition. Isaiah 30, in returning and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust will be your strength. You know, how do we regain strength in the Lord's presence? I tell you, by being quiet, by being still. Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. Isaiah 40, yet those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength, will become vital. Habakkuk 2:20, be silent before him, all the earth. Zechariah 2:13, hush, all flesh, before Jehovah. You know, our flesh is so active that even in the Lord's presence, it can still stay active. Our flesh. So we need to stop the flesh, stop the soulish activities. I don't mean we become empty, but we do need to empty ourselves in a way so that we can be filled by the Lord with himself. But it starts with us being what? Still waiting in his presence. You know, you are pouring some tea right from the pot, and I am having a cup. So I bring the cup to you, but I keep moving the cup. I keep moving the cup. You know what I mean? I keep jerking the cup. And you are trying to pour the water. You have to run after me. You have to find, you get my point. So much our time with the Lord, we're like a moving cup. The Lord couldn't even pour. He would say, stay still, my child. Stay put. Calm down. So that I can pour into you. Pour something into you. Well, there's hymn 764. You can sing that. B, whenever we come before God, we should not immediately pray. We should not read the Bible or sing hymns. Rather, we need to settle our being both inwardly and outwardly in this kind of times. However, we cannot be quiet for too long. Otherwise, many scattered thoughts will begin to come in. So after we stop our entire being in C and close the door to the outside world, the whole point about going into our closet is not going into a physical closet, but to close the door to all the outside noise and distractions. We will be able to turn to the deepest part of our being and exercise our spirit to contact him. Indeed, in order to pray, it is necessary that we frequently still our mind. If the mind is not properly controlled, there will be a problem in prayer. No wonder in Romans 8, it says, set your mind on the Spirit. I tell you, these kind of times of fellowship with the Lord requires a real setting of our mind to bring our mind back from all the things and setting our mind on the Lord himself, on the Spirit. This takes exercise. This takes learning. Romans 3, another hymn, 784, the hymn that I mentioned earlier. Pray to fellowship with Jesus, fully opened from within. Open, open. With thy face unveiled, beholding, single, pure, and genuine. So what is the point here? A, God only wants us to love him and to keep ourselves open to him. God just wants us to be open. And I'll tell you, in these kind of times with the Lord, it takes a lot of exercise to be entirely open. Many of us are with the Lord without opening. We just call, we read some verses, we even pray, read something. Our hearts not only were not turned, our hearts actually were not open. We're like a glass that is have a cover on it. It may not be moving, but you cannot pour anything into it because it's covered. How many open vessels are there? The Lord is looking for open vessels, available vessels, empty vessels for him to pour himself into. Open. Oh, dear brothers, I love these words. Come, turn, open. B, the best way to pray is to open our windows to heaven. That is to open ourselves to the Lord and contact him. It's quite an exercise to open. You know, in a lot of my times with the Lord, I almost keep saying this to the Lord over and over again. What? In the beginning, Lord, I turn to you. Lord Jesus, I turn to you now. I return to you again, Lord. I just pray this way. I don't have anything else to pray. And this is my exercise of turning my heart, my whole being. And I also would pray again and again, Lord, I open to you. Lord, here am I. I'm here, Lord. I open myself. I open my spirit. I open my heart. I open every pore of my being to you. Lord Jesus, I open. Yeah, you may say, why do you need to repeat that? I just can tell you I need to. Until I find myself really open. As I pray this way, my heart is opening more and more. It's like a door that is so shut, big, thick doors, then a crack, then more of a crack, then more of a crack, then a wide open area for the Lord to come in. It doesn't go just like this. It takes time to even open more and more. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we have to learn to open different corners of our heart, different inward parts of our being, our mind, our emotion, our will, our conscience, the different parts of our spirit. I'll tell you, we have all these inward parts within us. We have to learn to open their doors one by one to allow the Lord to shine in, to allow the Lord to touch, to allow the Lord to enter, and to allow the Lord to make home in our hearts. Number four, hymn 793. My soul, be silent, wait upon the Lord. First let him speak to thee, then speak to him. True prayer in thee the Lord initiates. Thou but a channel art expressing him. You see, all of this to receive the Lord's infusing, right? To receive the Lord's shining, to receive the Lord's dispensing is so what? So that he can imprint his being, his heart, his feeling deep in ours. And then when he is in us and we are in him, I tell you, there is such a heavenly transmission going on. And in that transmission, what do? We begin to reflect him. We can begin to what? Be a channel in prayer for what he has put within our spirit and in our heart. And by that way, we express his heart's desire, his will. You see, Old Testament, New Testament, the principle, this principle is the same. A, God should be the initiator of our prayer, and the entire process of our prayer should be an experience in which God prays with us and mingles himself in our prayers. This is quite a deep lesson. Let the Lord initiate our prayer. And all this exercise that I'm talking about is to condition us to what? To be such a channel for him, so that God can pray with us, God can pray through us. And we can pray with God, and we can pray by God. There is a mingling taking place. This, brothers and sisters, is how we get blended and mingled and joined to the Lord in a deeper way. And how can you not be vital if you have this kind of experience? I won't get into the hymns 762, 763, 785. Some of the best hymns on prayer are in our hymnal. So many hymns for you to get into and practice these things. Well, I finished this point and I'm done tonight. Okay, what is it? I have B here. Since the presence of God and our mingling with him are absolutely related to the sense in our spirit, we should learn to allow our inner sense to be the initiating and motivating element within us when we pray. I am quite surprised that many saints, even who have been around, they don't know how to touch and learn that sense in their spirit, the inner sense within them, the sense of life, the sense of the Spirit's anointing. Because it is by this inner sense within us that we know what God is saying, how God is initiating something in us, how God is, what the Lord God's burden is, what he wants to transmit into us and want us to pray. We don't know. So it is a very fine thing to know the inner sense. The inner sense. You know, this still small voice. Brothers, all I can say is we have to pick this up. We have to learn to pray not from our mind, not from a program, but to pray according to his fresh move as the anointing spirit within us. That sense, I like to tell you, brothers and sisters, is absolutely real. Very, very real. Very real. You just know the Lord is speaking now. The Lord is putting what is in his heart into mine. You just know it. But you learn that, to know that over time. All right, last one, C. In genuine prayer, we pray together with God. We pray according to the feeling that God gives us. You see this sensation, this deep inner feeling from God. It is from the Spirit. This enables God to pray within us in our prayer. We allow God to pass through us. How about that? Pass through us and to mingle himself with us. In this way, we enjoy God and absorb him. So you see here, dear brothers and sisters, by this process, we are absorbing, we're receiving, we are assimilating, we're being dispensed and transfused into with himself, with his mind, with his feelings, with his hearts and desire. You see, he is mingling at that moment with us. And what? We just become filled and saturated and permeated and soaked with his dear self. And even with his mind and heart, the inward parts of Christ are even what? Duplicated in our heart in these kind of moments. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, whoa, what are you talking about? Is it like that? I thought touching the Lord is so simple. Well, it is simple. It is simple. But brothers and sisters, we need to advance. We need to advance. We need to become today's overcomers, the vital persons in this age, to really, really work out the Lord's desire amongst us, in the church, in his recovery. But to become this kind of vital person, we have to touch the source of vitality, which is God himself. And so we need to learn to spend the time with him, and even deeper times, more thorough times, lengthier times like this. I hope we will bring this into practice. I stop here. Amen.